My dear respected brothers and elders, many of us and many Muslims throughout the world, not only in South Africa but throughout the world, we fail to understand at times, or we don't have the understanding at times of the requirements of deen and sharia. And one of these aspects is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly speaks of it in the Quran Kareem. And you will find that Islamophobes, where people have created and brought about such types of understanding of Islam that it seems as Islam is a terrorist organization. It's an organization. And it doesn't, they don't even consider it to be a religion, na'udhu billah. Whereas it is the purest and the best religion of all time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of it in the Quran al-Kareem, two very important aspects of our lives. That if we understand these two words, then we will understand that where we stand as Muslims. One is, you get in life something which is called compromise. And one is that is called coexistence. Two words that both have start with a C, but they both have totally different meanings. And as a Muslim, living in this modern 21st century, it is imperative for each and every person to understand that what is the meaning of compromise when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks and mentions compromise, and also the detestation of compromise in Islam, and how forbidden it is for a person to compromise, and where do we draw the line between compromise and coexist. It is very, very important for us to understand that coexistence happened from the time of Adam alayhi salam. Every Nabi had to coexist with his people. They were from their people, they were from amongst their people. All Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam that came to this face of this earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, or certain of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam, Allah mentions in the Quran, وَإِلَىٰ آدٍ أَخَوْهُمْ هُودًا. To Ad we send their brother Hud. وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَوْهُمْ صَالِحًا. To Salih we send their brother Salih. So it was people from amongst them. The same with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah mentions that we sent a person from amongst you. We sent a person from amongst you that speaks your tongue, that speaks your language. Allah Ta'ala says, speaks of the Quran also. That inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiya. That we reveal this Quran in the Arabic language. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives the exact reason for this. Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiya. We reveal this Quran in the Arabic language. So that you may understand what is going on. It is not in a foreign language. It is not in a language you could say that it was in Persian, or it was in English, or it was in Roman, whatever languages the Romans spoke at that time. It is in their language, so how can we understand it? Allah says, no, we sent it in your language so that you may understand. We revealed it on a person from amongst you, which show that the person coexisted amongst you, and he coexists still amongst you. There are still those cultural things that are there. There are still the normal norms of life that a person needs to go through. Well, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam began propagating Islam and deen. And naturally, like every other Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam found opposition to it. And great opposition. And people tried the chieftains of the Quraysh, Az bin Wail, Abu Jahl, all these chieftains of the great chiefs, which we call of the Quraysh, they all came and they tried their level best to try and curb Islam and trying to curb the spread of Islam. Finally, when all else failed, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a proposal. And this proposal which they put on the table, they said to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you want to, we will make you the richest person in our community. If you want to, we will give you the best daughters. If you wish, we will make you the leader and the king of the Quraysh. We'll make you the chief. We'll give you all of these things, but on one condition. And this is where the compromise part comes in. On one condition, we will give you all of these things. That you worship our gods and our lords for 1 year, and we will worship Allah for 1 year. So that is the point of compromise. And a few times, the Mufassirin has said, A few times they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they made the same proposals to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we want you to worship our Lord. We want you to worship our gods. Whoever they are, Lat and Uzza and all of these, we want you to worship them for 1 year. And the next year, coming year, we will worship Allah. So total compromise. If you look at the English dictionary, if you look up the word compromise, it means, in other words, 50%. Come halfway. Meet me halfway. Let's give in some way. You give in some way and we will give in some way. And in this way we will be able to have a better life. We will be able to coexist. So their idea of good coexistence was that you got to give in some way and we will give in some way. So we will worship Allah half the time and you worship Allah half the time. Or rather you worship our gods half the time and we will worship Allah half the time. And in that way we will be able to, you know, live together in a peaceful, amicable social environment. This was their proposal to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives them the answer to what they have asked for. Allah says, say Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. Let's say to this kuffar, say to this kuffar who have come with this particular proposal to you of compromise, this daring proposal that they have come to you with compromise, that you will not worship la a'budu ma ta'budun. I do not worship and I will never ever worship that which you worship. And neither are you worshipping that which I worship now. And if you do not accept Islam in the future, also you will not worship what I worship. You cannot worship Allah and worship something else with Allah because that is shirk. In the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of that surah, lakum dinukum waliyadin. That totally destroys and kills their any aspirations that they had of a compromise. And after the day of Qiyamah, there will be no compromise as far as deen is concerned. Lakum dinukum, for you is your religion. You follow what you want to do. Lakum dinukum waliya deen, and for me is my religion. It's my deen. So if you look at the credo of Islam, which is our kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. You see all ibadat that came, it is direct, munazzal min Allah. It is directed, given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any ibadah that we have. So compromise as far as your deen is concerned. Compromise as far as your aqidah, your belief system is concerned. Compromise as far as your deen and your ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. In another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lana a'maluna wa lakum a'malukum, la hujjata baynana wa baynakum. That for you is your lana a'maluna, for us is our deeds. It is our actions that we have done. Wa lakum a'malukum, and for you it is your actions what you have done. There is no proof between us. There is no way that we are going to compromise. You have your actions. You fulfill your obligations to whatever and whatever obligations you want to do. We will not do your actions. Neither do we expect you to do our actions. And even if you do, it will not be acceptable. Any ibadat, if the aqidah or the iman of that person is incorrect, his belief system is incorrect, any ibadah he does after that is futile. That is why if a non-Muslim does good deeds, his deeds are destroyed before he dies. If a non-Muslim was courteous and kind, which we find non-Muslims who are courteous and kind, then they will see the effects of their good deeds in this world. And after they leave this world, there will be nothing. I remember once meeting a person or speaking to a person, and he was arguing with me of a particular person that died, a celebrity that had died, and she had done so much of good and so much of good, and she died. So what is her position? So I said, well, if a person dies without iman, iman is the basis of everything. If there isn't iman, there isn't the foundation of iman, there is nothing after that. So a person who leaves this world, no matter what deeds they did, no matter what humanitarian deeds they may have done, no matter what good they did in their lives, everything that they did is absolutely zero in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if a person leaves this world without iman. And it goes for you and I as well. The basis of life of a Muslim is his iman. So I said, well, the person that dies without iman, well, they're going to go to Jahannam. Inna fi nari Jahannam khalidin fiha abada. They will go to Jahannam forever. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala once saw a rahib, a monk, a Jewish monk. He used to fast so much and he was such an ascetic that his teeth were falling out in his hair. He became absolutely frail and weak in his... He couldn't even walk properly. He couldn't even talk properly because of the type of actions that he was fasting so profusely. He was worshipping in such a particular way. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala looked at him and said, he asked the people, what's wrong with him? He says, no, he's fasting excessively and he exerts himself the entire night in ibadat. Where is he supposed to follow the deen of Islam? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, Amilatun nasibah. Work that is making him tired. Amilatun nasibah. Tasla naran hamia. Soon the fire is going to roast him. He's going to go into Jahannam. He's doing work that is making him tired. It got no value in the sight of Allah. So when I said to this person that if you die without iman, then naturally you're not entered into the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, just because you don't have iman, they won't go to Jannah. That's the whole basis of life. Not just because iman, it is only because of iman that a person will enter Jannah. Nonetheless, there is no compromise. But what is the meaning of coexist? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, Allah ta'ala speaks of coexistence. And Allah mentions coexistence in the Quran as well. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروا وتقسطوا إليهم. That Allah Ta'ala has not forbidden anybody. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم. That person that did not fight you, has not been aggressive towards you, has not shown any sort of aggression towards you, has not expelled you from your homes and your houses, has not been mean and difficult towards you, that you should meet them courteously and you should show courtesy to them. This doesn't go against the grain. It doesn't mean that there is coexistence, there will be compromise. There's a huge difference. Coexistence, compromise means 50-50 like I mentioned. Coexist means although you have different ideologies and your belief system is totally different, but you can live in an amicable society. And that is what for so many hundreds of years, the Muslims in South Africa are doing over 300, 350 years. That is what the Muslims are doing as a minority in this country. That is what the Muslims are doing in many countries in the world, where they are minorities, but yet Muslims are coexisting. They're not at loggerheads with anybody. Allah didn't ask us to go and be at loggerheads with people. Allah didn't say that go out and use the ayats of jihad and start forcing jihad and forcing jihad. Allah didn't say in the Quran al-Kareem, nowhere is it mentioned, that go out and now bring about the Hajj, the capital punishment of Islam. We cannot go about cutting people's hands. We cannot go out enforcing capital punishment in our country. Why? Firstly, we are minority and we coexist under the law of the country. So it is not a Sharia country. We cannot have a kangaroo Sharia court here. So coexistence, Allah Ta'ala did not forbid coexistence. In fact, if you look at it, peace treaties that were there in Islam, it was not a compromise. And is very emphatically mentioned in the tafsir. That Suratul Kafirun, where Allah says, Lakum dinukum waliyadin, that for you is your religion, and for me is my religion. I will follow my religion, my tenets of Islam, my aqidah. I will worship my Allah, and you will worship whatever you want to worship, and you'll do whatever you want to do. You will not compromise. We cannot say that one year we will celebrate Christmas and the next year we will celebrate Eid. It happens in some countries. In some places in India, I know, the Muslims celebrate Diwali as well. And then the Hindus, they celebrate Eid as well. We cannot do that. That is total compromise. That is not coexistence. That is compromise. And in deen, there is no compromise whatsoever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of it in the Quran. And he mentions that this is what coexistence is. Peace treaties that were there in Islam. Peace treaties that were there in Islam, another term for it is an accord. It's a peace treaty, it's an agreement of peace. To coexist. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Madinah Munawwara, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam signed a few peace treaties with nations when Islam started flourishing. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam signed a few peace treaties. Amongst them, the first one that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam signed is the peace treaty of Medina. That when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam arrived in Medina, there were many Jews and there were Jewish tribes that existed in and around Medina as well. And to secure this type of coexistence, there was peace treaties that were signed and that were to promote human rights and human dignity, and to promote trade between the parties. That we will not, the Jews could have decided on their own, they could have decided that if we want a particular matter to be judged between us, we can go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we can judge it according to our Torah. There was no compulsion in what they had to do. That is why those that say Islam was spread by a sword, Islam was not spread by a sword. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for Battle of Badr, there were 313 Muslims. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam signed, there were even less Muslims when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam signed the peace treaty of Medina. If you look at the peace treaty of Medina, it is all about human rights and dignity. To give people the space to do as they please, but not for each other to do what the other is doing. Not to compel anybody. La ikraha fi din. There is no compulsion in deen, there is no compulsion in Islam. If you look at the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with the Muslims, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to enter into Makkah Mukarramah for Umrah, and he was stopped by the kuffar. And finally the entire episode and the entire thing that went on, finally Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam signs a peace treaty. He signs the peace treaty with the Quraysh of Makkah. In fact, each and every or most of the aspects of the peace treaty were against Muslim interest. The Sahaba were not happy. So much so that they didn't even want Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name to be on the peace treaty. When it was written Muhammad Rasulullah, they asked him to remove Rasulullah because they didn't recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the Rasul of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, in Ali radiallahu ta'ala, refused to do it. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself erases it. And he puts Muhammad bin Abdullah to show that I will coexist. It doesn't mean that I'm not the Nabi of Allah. But for your sake, for you to understand, to bring you to the table, for us to coexist, that is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam removed it. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam removed it. But if you look at it, the entire peace treaty was against the Muslims. Most of the tenets of it, most of the conditions of it, was against Muslim interest. But Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we had given you a great victory. Surah An-Nasr speaks about a great victory, a coming victory which alludes to the Fatha Makkah, to the conquest of Makkah. In the same breath, in the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be given a great victory. And that refers to the victory of Makkah Mukarramah. When you see Islam entering, people entering Islam into droves, into numbers, huge numbers, people would be entering into Islam. How is that possible? The Muslims were not compromised in any way. They signed a treaty of coexistence that we will coexist with them. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came for Umrah and he was stopped at Hudaybiyah, there were 1400 Muslims that were with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The next year, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned, after that, he returned with 2000 Muslims. Although the peace treaty was against the Muslims, it opened up a road for Islam to be spread and Islam to become a culture amongst people. It became a religion of choice for people. So my dear respected brothers, in life we will come across many aspects. Many times in life we will be given a choice. And some of those choices are a choice of coexistence. And sometimes the choice is a choice of compromise. There is no compromise as far as aqidah, your belief or your ibadat is concerned. But yes, we can coexist with people. We can live amicably with people. Islam, the word Islam means peace. It promotes peace. It promotes human dignity. It promotes good trade. It encourages people to live in an amicable way in society. However, it does not promote compromise. For example, and we'll terminate. Marriage in Islam is an ibadat. It's an ibadat. But if a person wishes to marry a non-Muslim, the marriage is not recognized in Islam. Because then it is compromise. Because you cannot compromise that ibadat of nikah. Although it is It is a matter of coexistence, but it is compromising your matter, is compromising deen. But in other aspects, yes, you should be courteous to your neighbors. You should be kind to people. You should treat them well. You should greet non-Muslims. You should speak to them nicely. Bring them towards Islam. It is the akhlaq and it is the mu'ashara of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba that brought people into droves into Islam. It wasn't the sword. It was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's akhlaq that brought them in. But Allah Ta'ala puts a rider also. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put a rider on peace treaties and peace agreements. He says, "Illa sulhan ahalla haraman wa harrama halalan." All peace treaties are fine for a coexistence, except an agreement where you will be legalizing a haram or you will be forbidding a halal. That is not possible. That is not coexistence. That is compromise. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever we are faced with the situation, whether we must compromise or we must coexist, and we know our religion, we know what my deen requires, and from time to time it will come to that. Is this compromise or is this coexistence? Riba in my business, is it coexistence or is it compromise? Then we need to decide on our own, because we are living in our own lives. Further than that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned to the Sahaba, a person who recites Kuliyayul Kafirun before he goes to bed at night, Allah will save him from kufr. So inshallah, we should try to put this into practice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. Wa akhiru da'wan. Alhamdulillah.